Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Thomas Cook, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in Vienna, Austria. In addition to being an Alexander teacher, Thomas is a classically trained actor. He's been exposed to many different techniques for mind and body awareness. He studied at Juilliard in New York City, and studied mime, yoga, tai chi, Pilates, stage combat. He's also taught movement for actors at Juilliard and State University of New York and the Brooklyn College and the Actors Theater. And today we're going to talk about his work teaching tai chi. Thomas, welcome to the show.
Hello.
And could you start by just giving our listeners a very short description or definition of the Alexander Technique?
Yes. The Alexander Technique for me is really a learning process in which we can become aware of patterns of movement that are potentially detrimental to our overall physical well-being. And the Alexander Technique is a way to make conscious these unconscious habits so that we have the ability to make a choice instead of being always a slave to the habit or to the reaction.
And how do you see that being particularly helpful for people who are studying Tai Chi?
Well, Tai Chi is a very soft and gentle kind of slow motion movement meditation. Depending on what kind of style or what kind of school you are associated with, some schools focus more on the meditation and health side of it. Other schools focus more on the combative and, you know, self-defense side of it. But there is always at the core a process to understand a different way of moving, a different way of being supported by the ground, a different way of allowing your movements to really be connected and flow. And studying the Alexander Technique is one way of really going deep into this idea of dynamic ease, if you will, within the body, rediscovering the body's natural balance and natural dynamic easefulness.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had a previous conversation about the Alexander Technique in yoga. And one of the things that came up was the fact that yoga comes out of a culture in which most people probably had a good deal more flexibility than most Westerners today. And I wonder if there's any analogy to Tai Chi. I assume it originated in China, would that be correct? And many, many years ago.
Yes.
Wonder if, from your knowledge of it, whether some of the Tai Chi forms that have developed carry with them some implicit assumptions about flexibility that maybe aren't totally accurate in the West today.
If you look at Asian and, you know, Indian culture as kind of a in a general kind of way, people are very, very comfortable squatting on the floor. You know, heels stay on the ground, and they sit in a deep, deep squat, and they will eat or cook or play games or whatnot in this kind of deep squatting position. Mm-hmm. And this is an ability we seem to have lost in our culture. When we sit so often on chairs or sofas in car seats, and we tend to be very, very shortened and handicapped in this very flexible region of the body, the hip joints we don't utilize our full range of motion. And so as far as like flexibility goes and easefulness, especially in the spine and in the back, cultures that tend to use less furniture seem to have more flexible populations,
right?
If you will.
And so a 21st century American or European who's studying Tai Chi, I would assume the implications of what you just said are that someone today could well find it beneficial to do some basic self-study about balance and coordination that the Alexander technique certainly offers as an adjunct to or preparation for taking Tai Chi classes.
Yes, I think so. And because Alexander lessons are so individual and personal, one-on-one, you will be studying in a very direct, intimate manner your own personal habits and your own personal tendencies for, you know, tensing in the shoulders or holding the breath or, you know, all of these things that hinder this kind of free-flowing motion that Tai Chi is famous for.
And certainly my very limited exposure to Tai Chi, which was made it very clear to me that balance is a big issue in doing it well. And of course the Alexander technique is pretty well known for helping people with their balance in general. We talk,
yes.
We Alexander teachers devote a lot of attention to balance of our heads on top of our spines and how that affects everything else.
Yes.
So it
yes.
seems to me that Tai Chi and I think in general the martial arts and the Alexander technique are quite complementary.
Yes, definitely. Tai Chi and martial arts will always talk about, the balance and the stance and, the posture and how you hold the body and what makes an effective movement, how you can move faster. And all of these things, all of these body coordination things are also, addressed in the Alexander technique. I mean, the specific end of the Alexander technique is not to be able to defend yourself on the street or to enter some kind of, martial arts competition. But the working model of the Alexander technique is really to find your balance again, your easefulness in motion and day-to-day life. So perhaps you're not, being attacked on the street, but you are, being confronted with your habits sitting in front of your computer every day. And so the challenge becomes, staying present and working within your natural balance as you poke away at the computer all day.
Mm-hmm.
Because the act of sitting in itself is not detrimental. It does not of itself bring pain and discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
It is the way in which we sit, and it is the way in which we you work in front of a computer or at the piano or during a Tai Chi exercise that the Alexander technique brings the attention of the practitioner to that very specific, very personal, very immediate kind of quality in the body.
Mm-hmm. And could you say a word or two about how you would work with someone in a Tai Chi class or in a private lesson if they were working on their Tai Chi form? A little bit about how you use your hands, how you teach someone who's doing Tai Chi.
Well, in a class situation, I have everyone lie down on the floor at the very beginning. And very, very gently, go around and gently lift the head or lift the legs, and just ask people to really allow, you know, the neck and the shoulders to become softer and softer. Really allow the muscles around the stomach and around the small of the back and around the hips to become softer and softer. And really trust that when we let go muscularly, that the structure, the bony structure, is strong enough to support the weight, and we don't have to, you know, pull ourselves together, so to speak. We, you know, have this idea we have to, you know, pull ourselves together, hold on, you know, and get through it. But actually, you begin to experience this other quality when we simply let go and allow gravity to take our weight for us. Mm-hmm. And then from lying down, coming up into standing, and now the idea that we're not lying on our backs anymore, we are lying on our feet. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, 26 bones in both feet, and the feet can, under the weight of the body, if we allow the neck to be free and the shoulders to be soft and the weight of the body to really sink into the feet, we automatically have much more balance. We are much more grounded, because we are doing less and we are trusting more support from the floor or from the earth.
Which is what small kids do.
Yes.
Without any training. Kids of 4, 5, 6 years old who can do a lot of things, you know, they're old enough to do a lot of activities. I think for the most part, they do that instinctively.
Yes.
And we adults have figured out how to mess things up over the years. So it sounds a little like what you do at the beginning of a Tai Chi class could be the same thing for any other kind of a class too, right? That's going to involve an activity.
Yes. I mean, also just the very act of lying down on the floor is so non-habitual, mm-hmm. that it automatically will bring people into a different quality of thinking.
Right.
And then to really be consciously thinking about specific points of the body, you know, thinking about how heavy the head is, and just allowing this weight to really sink into the floor, has an effect. It travels through the entire spine, and is an invitation for release. And so I always say, you know, just observe and allow. Yeah, there's nothing to try. There's no goal to reach. It really is just a process here, in this moment. How heavy is your body, and can you allow this weight to really be supported by the floor from underneath, instead of trying to hold yourself together in the shoulders or in the stomach or, you know, across the chest?
Mm-hmm. And do you then also use your hands to help guide and wake people up to themselves in as they're doing Tai Chi movements?
In the Tai Chi itself, not so much, because I demonstrate a lot, and the form I teach tends to be rather long and complicated, and I don't at the beginning of the class, like I say, I try to bring everyone to this stillness and then bring them up into standing, mm-hmm. into neutral, and then I will do some hands-on, and I will, you know, talk about bringing the pelvis more underneath the weight of the head and letting that really connect with the feet. And then I'll maybe take an arm to the side, or just lay the hands gently on the shoulders. And it's really, can be very, very profound, the release that happens, even in just this very, very simple, very shortened version of an Alexander lesson.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a colleague who teaches Tai Chi at a very high level. He's quite high up in one of the schools, and I can't remember the name of it, but he's been to China many times and studied with the master there. And a few years ago, he wrote an article about the Alexander technique in Tai Chi and how the technique could be helpful for people who were studying Tai Chi. And he told me he got quite a bit of flack for that, because that a lot of people studying Tai Chi see it as kind of a complete self-contained system, and that the idea that you might bring to bear another system was almost seemed a little insulting to them. Can you address that issue at all?
Well, we can say the same thing about the Alexander technique. I mean, the Alexander technique is unto itself a completely self-standing, separate discipline or a method that that doesn't really need the help of Tai Chi or yoga or whatnot. I don't make a big issue of it. I'm not personally associated with a specific school or a specific tradition. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of avoid that issue, so to,
right.
so to speak. I'm not pretending to be some kind of great Tai Chi instructor or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I, from my own personal experience, I found that the Tai Chi movement was very, very satisfying and very, very effective for finding more release in my hip joints, for example, mm-hmm. and finding a completely new quality of flexibility.
Right.
And it really helped with my balance, and it helped with my sense of groundedness and whatnot. So, but my understanding of Tai Chi or my experience of these movements then became so much deeper, became so much richer mm-hmm. when I would, use my Alexander experience mm-hmm. as a way of finding a deeper level of relaxation or a deeper level of being able to move with fluidness. Mm-hmm. So there are purists on in both camps. There are
indeed there are, yes.
There are Alexander teachers that will very much take issue with the fact that I teach yoga or teach mm-hmm. Tai Chi.
Right.
Because of this idea that it is a self-contained system that stands on its own. It doesn't need to be watered down or mixed up or whatnot. And that's okay. I mean, there is a tradition and there is a lineage, and I think it's important to honor that and understand what it is. But at the same time, I have my own personal experience, mm-hmm. which has been that my study of Tai Chi has definitely helped me in my teaching. Mm-hmm. You know, the horse stance in Tai Chi is very, very similar to the monkey,
yeah.
In Alexander technique.
Right. Well, I think this particular teacher probably, as you suggest, got into trouble more because he was had been as it were anointed by the head the. I don't know what the term is, but the person highest up in that branch. And then the idea that he would then say, well, but you know, Alexander technique could help, just seemed to upset some people. But I agree with you totally that I'm sure most Alexander technique teachers could benefit from Tai Chi or something else that maybe suited them better, yoga or Pilates or whatever, and vice versa. Yes. Is there anything else that you would like to say about the Alexander technique Tai Chi connection that we haven't covered?
No, I think that covers it. I don't claim to be an expert. I also don't claim to be an expert in the Alexander technique either. I am an expert from my own personal experience, though, and I find it very interesting this kind of rigidity or this kind of a dogmatic adherence to to a school of thought or to a lineage or whatnot, because that is exactly what is develops into a habit, or which is exactly what the Alexander technique is always challenging us to let go of.
Yeah, and to examine and let go of what we don't need. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well,
so I guess I would offer that as food for thought.
Well, you know, if anything that Thomas and I have been talking about today intrigues you, and certainly if you're studying Tai Chi or teaching Tai Chi and you want to explore what the Alexander technique might have to offer, we'll put a link up to a site that'll enable you to find an Alexander teacher anywhere in the world. And of course, if you're in Vienna, Austria, we'll put a link to Thomas's website. And of course, if you're an Alexander teacher in Vienna, I know there's at least one or two others there, and want to learn about Tai Chi, I think Thomas would be a good person to go to. Thomas, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Robert.